Carla, we have a second time certain, and I think we've set something of a record today because we're actually within about 15 minutes of the time that it's set for. So would you please call, would you please read item number 382?
Acknowledge the engineering contributions of the professional and technical employees, Local 17, and create the City of Portland Professional Employees Association Value Capture Program to leverage funding for design and construction of transportation and stormwater infrastructure.
Thank you. And I'm about to acknowledge and introduce Commissioner Novick, but for those of you who are here for other items, following this item, we'll go to 384, which is on the, has been lifted from the consent, and then we'll move to our regular agenda. Commissioner Novick.
Thank you, President Fish. Colleagues, on this item, I know that we circulated a substitute amendment. This substitute makes changes to the resolution to add a new provision suggested by Commissioner Fritz requiring an annual report about LIDs. The substitute also makes changes to address issues raised by the Chief Financial Officer in the City Budget Office. These changes add important clarity as to how the incremental property tax revenue will be calculated. There's also a change to clarify and ensure the Council will consider appropriations from LIDs for value capture revenue during the normal budget process each year. Carla has copies of the substitute. I ask for a second.
Second.
Thank you. So the purpose of this resolution is to acknowledge the contributions of our friends at COPIA and also to bring forward a proposal that they've been talking about and refining over the last couple of years. We all know that there are lots of places in the city where we have unimproved streets, we have no street at all, or we have a street without a curb. We know that we have these things called LIDs, which we approve periodically, but not very often. What COPIA suggested is that we establish a program where we look at the additional property tax revenue that is generated by the value of property being enhanced by the LIDs that do exist. And then the council could look at that and in the annual budget process decide, we are going to take this value we are going to take this value generated by prior LID improvements and use it to help supplement what local property owners are able to come up with in future LIDs in order to ensure that more LIDs actually happen. It's definitely very much a pay it forward concept. So we have two panels to present on this item. First, Amy Bowles from COPIA, Steve Townsend from PBOT, and economist Mark DeLacy will provide an overview.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Novick, for those introductory remarks, and thank you, Council, for the opportunity to present today. First, I would like to start off with a few comments. As Commissioner Novick indicated, my name is Amy Bowles. I am with PTE Local 17, Professional and Technical Employees Local 17, and I'm here today on behalf of COPIA, City of Portland Professional Employees Association, specifically the COPIA chapter of PTE 17. And I am proud to be here and proud to present this resolution on behalf of the hard work of our COPIA chapter members at PBOT and across the city. This resolution and this project proposal was really the brainchild of John Wood in close collaboration with Ruth Ann Bennett. Both of those folks are PBOT employees or former PBOT employees. John Wood is recently retired and actually present in the audience with us today. And Ruth Ann Bennett will later be addressing council in public testimony remarks. John Wood and also Ruth Ann Bennett both noticed a pattern of development opportunities that others hadn't seen, and they noticed this throughout their experience working through PBOT and on all the engineering projects that they work on. John and Ruth Ann are two engineers at PBOT who have really exemplified the contributions of COPIA employees at the city, specifically within their bureau at PBOT. Our members are proud to be city employees and consistently provide quality infrastructure work. And the engineers at PBOT solve intractable engineering problems that add incredible value to the city, to infrastructure, and also to the bureau specifically. And the projects that they work on are not easy, and it's really fantastic that we have these incredible resources in-house within the Bureau at PBOT. Later, Steve Townsend will highlight some of the innovative and highly technical projects that I've referenced. And for now, we will move on to the first slide. And do you all have the PowerPoint present in front of you? Okay, great. So the LID project proposal we have been working on for approximately the last 2 years. And on this first slide, we'd like to show a 15-year snapshot of LIDs as just one option to build infrastructure within the city of Portland. This program, as we've mentioned, has been in collaboration with COPIA. And COPIA has closely been involved in and worked with LIDs since the function centralized in PBOT in 2000. The LID process used to be scattered in multiple city bureaus and in multiple places in the code, and there was a question whether LIDs and engineering solutions would even be viable moving forward. LID program works with property owners and on project financing, and COPIA employs engineering expertise. COPIA has designed most of the 35 LIDs formed since 2000. Despite the lack of new funding sources, such as value capture and past funding sources, such as CDBG block grant funding and PDC urban renewal funds, we've been able to whittle away at the backlog of unpaved streets over the past 15 years by about 7.2% due to these LIDs. And our COPIA colleagues who handle permit engineering have helped as well. The figures above on the slide show the differential that would exist in the absence of LIDs, and block by block, we continue to reduce that backlog. But to be clear, LIDs are not the only tool available. And now I will turn it over to Steve Townsend.
My name is Steve Townsend. I'm the city engineer, chief engineer for transportation. I've been in about the position about for 10 years. And so over the years, I've had a great opportunity to see some of the projects that the COPIA staff have worked on, particularly on these LIDs. And if you take a look at the slide that Amy's putting up here, the issue of how to pay for streets, how to improve streets, and has been around for a long time. I mean, as you can see, these slides are going back over 100 years. So this is not a new situation the city's faced. And one of the things about it is with the LIDs, a lot of things we've been able to attack has been the unimproved streets. And most of the unimproved streets are there because all of the easy projects were already done sometime in the past. But fortunately, our engineering expertise has greatly increased over the last century, and we've got ways to try to address some of these. As engineers, we design projects to last and to minimize life cycle costs, recognizing that today's maintenance dollars are quite limited, as you are well aware. We design streets so they are not a financial burden on the next generation. And while learning from history, we try new things in the spirit of continuous improvements. These infill or retrofit type projects are the most difficult. They're much more difficult than just having a green field to go do work on. And I have a few slides to kind of show you some of the projects that the COPIA members have worked on and their accomplishments. For those of you in Southwest, because I heard, I know Amanda and Steve, you guys live in that area. If you guys are familiar with Southwest Texas, this is a huge accomplishment out there. It was a very steep, unimproved street out there. When I first came to the city, I worked in environmental services doing the design of the storm sewer, or the storm improvements, and I thought this project would never be built. It's at the headwaters of Stevens Creek. And with it, BES was also doing a bunch of work along Stevens Creek in that in the drainage area. And with this project being built and the other projects that BES also did, and this one being right at the headwaters of Stevens Creek, they are now salmon in a portion of Stevens Creek in Southwest Portland that were not there today. And this project would be part of that improvements to help make that happen. Our next slide, Northeast Alberta. Here's a second example of a project that COPIA staff worked on. Now, this giant puddle and is no longer blocks access to bicyclists, pedestrians, and motorists in the underserved Cully neighborhood. In addition, it also provided an opportunity to mentor an underrepresented employee who's an engineering intern who has used this opportunity to go on and have a great career after getting her start at the city of Portland. And now here's a photo just a block away showing how the street's been improved since that time. And our next slide. The third project is at a Southeast 119th and Pine, which is just a short walk from the MAX line. This intersection still looked this way 16 years after the light rail started opening on the blue line to Gresham in 1986. Despite the proximity to transit, market failure prevented this area from developing until the city stepped in with an LID and some funding to make these street improvements possible. I'm going to go to the next slide. So this is what it looks like today, or during construction. And before I hand this off to Bart, I just want to talk about, as the city engineer, this is one of the, I think this is a great opportunity to try to capture some of these revenues and address the 55 miles of unpaved streets that has been an issue since for the last 10 years that I've been the city engineer. And I know, Commissioner Saltzman, you've seen it for 18 years probably.
Keep picking on Dan's 18 years
here. This brought it up earlier. But anyway, this would just be a tool to try to have some seed money to be able to try to address these streets. And so with that, I'd like to go ahead and hand this off to Bart Lacy, who's going to expand on the concept of market failure and also value capture.
Welcome, Bart. When's the last time you came before council?
1995, I believe.
Wow.
It was to discuss a city parking policies, but...
We're honored that every 20 years you grace our building with your presence.
Thank you very much. My name is Barton DeLacy. I'm a valuation counselor, appraiser, now based in Chicago, but formerly from Portland. Portland's home, and I'm here today because one of your valued employees, Andrew Abbey, asked for some help, and a lot of my work is pro bono, and to me, he asked if I could put together a white paper to address the obvious economic benefits of this type of program and to weigh in with some of my experience around the country. And I believe you have a copy of that paper with the ordinance. And I guess my purpose here is to validate the economic soundness of the project and to provide perspective to remind the council that, in fact, under other kinds of names in Chicago, they call it tax increment financing. But in order to for a city to intervene and improve blight, leveraging the positive impacts of that real estate development, either through tax collections or other mechanisms, is accepted. It's in fact a best practice, and to see that adopted here has made obvious improvements in areas such as 148th and Airport Way, 119th and Pine Street, which Steve was just showing you. That is an area that, in fact, when light rail went out, you would have thought, well, gee, that's why we have light rail, that transit-oriented development might happen here. It didn't. And a market failure is whenever is a time that the city needs to intervene. So when the city provides affordable housing, it's because the market fails to provide housing for a portion of the population that is underserved. Obviously, when cities build streets and sewers through greenfield areas, that aids and abets development. But what do you do in these pockets that have been left behind? And there's an urgency right now because, in fact, the market in Portland's very hot. You want to do two things. You want to channel that growth and development. At the same time, you don't want to encourage sprawl. So what better way to do it than to focus that development on the underserved areas, take advantage of a boom in the market, and, you know, frankly, without access, which is what we're really talking about here, if you don't have access to a site, it's not going to get developed. Development favors the prepared mind or the prepared site, you might say. In conclusion, I just want to, it appears to me as a land economist that this the precept here is unassailable. It's one of the better ways the city can intervene, lower the bar for redevelopment in the areas that need it most. And if there are any questions or...
Let me ask a question based on that slide. Thank you for your explanation. And my understanding is this proposal is outside of urban renewal districts, so that's
that
not changing the allocation, and that it doesn't increase the property, doesn't change the property taxes that individual owners pay. It just directs the city to put it in a different place.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
On the next slide, I'll briefly go over how this program will work. And the goal, as indicated on the slide, is an economically sustainable cycle of public infrastructure and private investments. First, council will approve the COPIA value capture resolution, hopefully. Then the LID administrator will annually track an increase in city tax increment or incremental tax revenue. And this will be done in collaboration with the CFO and the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. Calculations will be also be validated by the city economist. And a city tax increment from development above 3% will be used for the LIDs. So the only capture will be everything above 3%. Council will approve value capture funding upon the LID formation. All tax increment return to general fund after 20 years. And the city can only capture the city's share itself. Obviously, it can't capture the county share or anyone else's share. This will be a pay-as-you-go. There will be no borrowing cost. There is no increase in administrative costs. This can all be done in the current confines of the administration and PBOT. And this will be targeted to R2.5, higher and commercial and industrial zoning areas.
Could you explain why that is? I think it's an important piece.
Yes, that is the areas that have, from what I understand, those are the areas that have the greatest opportunity for this value capture and for capturing this investment opportunity.
So the most likely to redevelop and then have more property taxes from that.
That's correct.
And we're not, under this proposal, going to be excusing property owners who would otherwise be required to develop a street by themselves. This proposal doesn't change that.
That does not, know.
So it's just to give a little extra where it makes the difference between fostering the redevelopment and not.
Yes, that is correct. Thank you. Okay. And then our final slide addresses project selection. And as we've previously discussed, there is an annual report to council on LIDs and the value capture program. So council will be briefed annually on how the last year went and on expectations for the following year. Property owners must have a willingness to participate in the program. They will not be necessarily forced to participate. There's an ability to generate tax increment for the city. In terms of geography, there's 95 neighborhoods infrastructure deficiency ranking. Equity will be considered, underserved populations. We also believe that this proposal and program will help achieve multiple city objectives, including housing as well as transportation accessibility objectives. Because with this will come the infrastructure for sidewalks and paved streets, et cetera, that will improve accessibility to transit. Proximity to schools will also be considered, as well as parks and transit. Financial need and inability to meet valuation to assessment ratio. And finally, council approves all use of value capture funds in each LID. So that's definitely a very important point. Council retains discretion. Every LID will come forward before council for a decision by council on whether or not to apply the program to that LID. At this time, that concludes the slideshow. And we have three other presenters who are included as invited testimony. And also, Andrew Abbey is available to answer any questions and can come forward, too.
Thank you very much. Let's welcome up our next three speakers.
Thank you.
The next three speakers are Monty Silliman from Riverview Bank, Joe Westerman, a potential future developer in Gateway, and Bob Rochelt, potential future LID participant in East Portland.
Why don't you come forward, everybody? Welcome. Would like to go first?
I'm standing. I'll go first.
Go ahead, sir. All we need is your name, and you have 2 minutes.
My name is Joe Westerman, and I am I build and manage apartment communities in Portland. I've been doing it for 25 years, mostly in East Portland. First of all, I'd like to thank you for one of the LIDs you approved, the 97th Avenue Green Street improvement that improved the streets, sidewalks, infrastructure along 97th. There was a lot there. The designers did a wonderful job of dealing with the utilities because it was set up for sparsely single-family homes, and now it is set up for apartment development. One of the big benefactors of the LID was the Rose Apartments built by Gordon Jones. Because of the LID, he was able to build a 90-unit apartment building consisting of affordable housing and market rate units there. And after he built that, some good things happened to the neighborhood. First, people in the neighborhood realized that the neighborhood was changing for the better. In East Portland, where the Rose was built, city rezoned that land several years ago for many more housing units. The city had very good vision in rezoning. It's a great place. It's a great place to have more housing, but the infrastructure just isn't there, and that's where the LID is so effective. It started the ball rolling with the Rose Apartments, and once the Rose started, I started acquiring houses south of the Rose, and I acquired them, and they were in disrepair. There was a couple drug houses that were closed down. I have rehabilitated them and have rented them and made them safe housing. And now, and this is all because of the LID. Probably the best example of one of the houses, it was just south of the Rose Apartments. It was a triplex. Complete disrepair. It just didn't look good. Lots of deferred maintenance, and I was able to purchase it. We cleaned up the trash can area. We have more garbage drops, and we have gone through all the units and have made it very good housing now. And it's, again, the whole area started with the 97th LID. I have since purchased other houses there, and now I have enough land to build 130 units right south of the Rose. My dream is to build 130 affordable housing units and market rate housing of some sort. I have never
Thank you, sir. Built. We have to wrap it up.
Okay, I've never built minute. Those, but I've talked to Gordon, and I'd like to have a dialogue with the city about this. Thank you so much for the LID.
Well, you have the full attention of the housing commissioner.
Great.
Thank you, sir. Welcome.
I'm Monty Silliman, Riverview Community Bank. I was involved in the projects. I've been involved in projects with Joe before. We financed the Rose Apartments for Gordon Jones and his investors, and I will emphasize again what Joe said. By having the LID, that allowed him to attract the investor partners that he was able to attract to make that project a go. That project was amazing for a lot of reasons. Again, the city getting the LID, the metro got involved in it because there was a lot of benefit there. They could not literally build those apartments fast enough. Most, I guess generally speaking, when apartments are built, a bank figures it's going to take about 90 days to get about a 70% occupancy. In less than 30 days, Gordon had 93% occupancy, and the only reason he didn't have 100 because you have to go through and qualify people. I mean, they were literally putting paint on the walls and people were moving in. Great project, revitalized that area. It was a big boon for that area. Riverview's a very community conscious lender. We love these kind of projects. We like the cooperation. These kind of projects without the LIDs and without people like Metro getting involved are not feasible. And that gateway area obviously has need when they grow, you fill up that fast. So it worked out real well. I guess that's all I'm going to say. The LID is a wonderful tool, and it's the only way that people like Joe and Gordon can make these things happen.
Thank you very much, sir. Welcome.
My name is Bob Rossholt, and I
just
have...
Hit the button on that, if you would.
Here?
There you go.
Now, my name is Bob Rossholt. I want to speak on supporting value capture. I think it's a great concept, and I want to add from personal experience... I want to underscore the importance of streets and sidewalks on property development and the tax revenue you'll realize from the improvements. In the late 60s, my wife and I built an 18-unit garden court complex on property next to Glenfair Grade School. with frontage on then-developed Northeast Gleason. This frontage on an improved street allowed us to secure the maximum financing needed to construct quality units. We filled these units with families with children and enjoyed the community that developed over several decades, which we referred to our Camlot years. The quality units we were able to finance have continued to increase in value and demand. Mark Berry, a prominent multifamily appraiser, considered them the finest offered on the east side for three decades that I know of. Meanwhile, the adjacent unimproved street deteriorated. The four blocks from Northeast Cooch to Gleason now have six houses that need to be replaced, three boarded up drug houses and three that are occupied at rents that don't support the purchase price needed to obtain the land. We are committed to improving this street and our neighborhood as opportunities present themselves. It took 3 months to finance a property adjacent to the southern border of our property because of the deteriorated neighborhood. We had to invest $40,000 in improvements to the house just to achieve a value acceptable to a bank to secure financing. Yet we also were required to commit to boarding up a drug house located on the property. Odds are, had street improvements comparable to the surrounding area, much further out, existed four decades ago, neighborhood deterioration or development of drug houses may not have occurred. The properties on this street are next to a park and could have been developed with quality residential units or multifamily, preferably, and the increased property tax revenue that would have accrued to the city would have retired the street and sidewalk costs a long time ago.
Very much, sir. Mm-hmm. Carla, I understand we have one person who signed up to testify.
Yes, Ruth Ann Bennett.
Ruth Ann, would you like to come forward? Thank you all very much.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Grab a seat. Welcome. We just need your name, and you have 3 minutes.
I'm Ruth Ann Bennett. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you. As a PTE Local 17 COPIA chapter member and as a Portland resident, I'm asking you to approve the COPIA value capture program. When a street hasn't been built yet or the sidewalks haven't been built, this can be a huge obstacle for property owners who want to build large additions to their homes or to construct new buildings. Local improvement districts allow multiple property owners to fund the construction of roads, sidewalks, streetlights, utilities, and the planting of street trees. This gives them the opportunity to make major improvements to their properties. The COPIA value capture program will capture the city's portion of property tax increases due to property development. This will make it possible to buy down the cost of street, sidewalk, and other frontage improvements for worthwhile local improvement districts approved by City Council. We need streets to go to work, go to school, and to do so many other things. Road construction improves access for emergency services. Sidewalk construction makes it easier for kids and seniors to go to school or the bus stop safely. Housing construction that follows street improvements help to eliminate our housing shortage. So I'm asking you to take this opportunity to help make our city a better place to live. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Steve, is that the end of your presentation?
It is, Mr. President. I believe that Commissioner Fritz has an amendment to offer, though.
All right, so we have a substitute that is before the council. Commissioner Fritz has an amendment to the substitute.
I just want to add a further, be it resolved that the City Council commends Ruth Ann Bennett, John Wood, and Andrew Abbey for their innovative work.
Second. So we now have a substitute as amended by Commissioner Friss without objection as the amendment. Carla, would you please call the roll on the substitute? Then we will vote on the resolution.
You want to roll on the amendment?
By unanimous consent. Okay. We just adopted it.
Okay, thank you. Saltzman?
This is the final vote.
No, we're adopting the substitute, then voting on the resolution.
Okay, aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. All right, the substitute is adopted, and we will now go to a vote on the resolution. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to commend COPIA, our members, particularly Ruth Ann and John, for thinking outside the box here and coming up with a very innovative idea to tackle that problem that's been around us for a long time, those unpaved streets, and that have been sort of fallen by the wayside and been neglected despite a lot of prosperity in the city. So I think you've presented us with a great approach that we can not only capture the value here, but make sure that that value gets channeled back into paving more streets and more sidewalks and curbs and stormwater improvements, too. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that. So thank you for this great thinking, and I'm very pleased to support it. Aye.
Novick.
I want to thank Kapia, especially Ruth Ann Bennett, John Wood, and Amy Bowles for their hard work developing this concept. I want to thank Andrew Abbey for working with them to develop the concept. This program is a great example of how our staff can innovate and improve our service, and we're well advised to listen to them. This particular innovation is what I'm especially interested in because it will increase resources for infrastructure investments. As we've heard today, LIDs are an important tool neighborhoods have for improving the infrastructure they use every single day. By tracking the contribution of these LED investments to increase property values, this program creates the opportunity to reinvest and bring LEDs within the reach of even more neighborhoods. While the amount of the revenue identified by this program is projected to be modest, even a small amount can go a long way. And in all these transportation issues, it's become more clear and clearer that there are no silver bullets, but there are silver buckshot. I vote aye and thank my colleagues for their support.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Novick, for your leadership on this and for taking some of my amendments regarding making sure that we do consider equity in the distribution of the funding. Thank you to Ruth Ann Bennett, John Wood, and Andrew Abbey. I wanted to amend the resolution so that your names are in the record for perpetuity. They are in the documentation of the City Council's minutes, but this will make it easier for, in the future, people to know who it was who came up with this really innovative idea, which did not take a penny additional funding to implement this. A lot of hard work on behalf of our valued labor partner to get the details refined. But this is an example of city employees do a lot of really great work that actually benefits way beyond the actual paving of the street, the providing of the sewer, the providing of a park, that results in benefits that then increase property taxes, that then increase the amount of money that the council can allocate in partnership with the community to other good works. This is how we build the city. And so this program quantifies that in a way similar to urban renewal districts. And it doesn't increase property taxes. It increases the property value for the property owner. So it's truly a win all around. There's no downside to this proposal. And I very much appreciate the intention to be very thoughtful about which further properties get the money to continue the pyramid and the snowball effect. So nice job all around. Well done, and thank you. Aye.
Yeah, it's all been said. I just want to comment that the city has a wonderful partnership with COPIA. And COPIA's job is to fight like hell for their people they represent at the bargaining table. But the true spirit of partnership is when they help us and their member help us do our work better and more efficiently and more effectively. So we celebrate that partnership. And I, too, was going to offer a friendly amendment, but it would not have been germane to the resolution, which was to encourage Bart DeLacy to return to his place of birth and end this interlude in whatever you said, Chicago or some city to the west, to the east. Steve, congratulations on your leadership. Aye. The resolution passes. Congratulations. So, folks, we